Tip FM's Extra Time with Ronan Quirk.
Hello, good evening and welcome to another edition of Extra Time. My name is Ronan Quirk. We're here until 8 o'clock this evening. We'd love to hear from you. Your messages are always welcome on 083 311 3311. Number works for WhatsApp and also text messages 083 311 3311. You can tweet us at TipFMSport is our Twitter handle. Lots to come tonight as we reflect on events in the stadium on Saturday night as our footballers crash out of the Munster Senior Football Championship with that 6-point defeat at the hands of Limerick. We look forward to Thursday night when our minor footballers are in a Munster semi-final against Cork, having already secured the Darrell Darcy Cup. And we'll also reflect on a busy weekend of hurling. JJ Kennedy will join us later in the show to look over the Munster Championship and look forward and discuss permutations and combinations ahead of our clash with Cork next Sunday afternoon. A game, incidentally, you can hear live on Tip FM. We've soccer as well. And don't forget, of course, our Sports Star of the Month. We're looking for nominations for the May Sports Star of the Month. If you have somebody in mind that you think is worthy for nomination for the Sports Star of the Month, this is in association with the Talbot Hotel in Clonmel, just send an email with your nomination and why to sportsstar@tipfm.com. That's sportsstar@tipfm.com in association with John Quirk Jewellers in Care and the Talbot Hotel in Clonmel. We'd love to know your text as well on what you thought of events in the stadium on Saturday evening. 083 311 3311. It's been a busy couple of weeks, you know. I mean, that Munster final at minor level on Wednesday night was just a belter of a game, a real privilege to be there. And God, it was a game of hurling that had absolutely everything in it as well. So we look forward to something similar from our minor footballers on Thursday night. But anyway, let's look back on events against Limerick in the game on Saturday night. And after that disappointing defeat at the hands of Limerick, David Power spoke to me on the pitch at the final whistle.
Half time, I suppose I was pleased to be going in at half time level. I thought we gave him the goal, to be honest with you. I thought the two goals that we conceded were way too soft, but to be fair, we came back level at half time after being 4 points down, so that was good. And I thought we might kick on. But to be fair, we made too many errors, and like the second goal, we just gifted it, the second goal, to him, and you just can't do that at this level. And don't know, I thought we just lacked a bit of penetration going forward compared to maybe other games as well. We weren't running off the shoulder, and some of our big lads, I suppose, just didn't happen. It wasn't that the lads weren't trying; it just weren't happening tonight. And that was and look, those days can happen.
I mean, at the start of the second half, on commentary, Shane Stapleton remarked on how much energy Limerick had relative to ourselves. They did seem to come out with a little bit more penetration and energy in that second half, which we've struggled to compete with.
Yeah. Look, that's probably a fair comment. But I still felt we left a couple of scores. There was a couple of scores, maybe the first 15 minutes of the second half, that we, you know, we dropped a couple of balls short. If they went over the ball, you might get energy from that. And even that wasn't working. And don't know, we were just look, to be fair to Limerick, look, they're the better team in the second half. You can't have any complaints. My biggest disappointment is we just didn't perform. You know, people can go on about who we're missing. I'm not into that. We were still good enough to beat Limerick there tonight, but we just didn't perform.
Yeah, I mean, even though you're missing so many halfbacks, I think like 2 points in play from O'Connell, really good shift, but you didn't have enough scoring forwards. I don't know if any of your forwards scored from play.
Yeah, and that doesn't shock me, because we weren't creating the space. We were too ponderous around the midfield. We just weren't penetrating the way we have been penetrating in other games, and that's the most disappointing thing there now tonight. And that's something that we have to take forward, and hopefully that we can get better at.
Yeah, I mean, Mike O'Shea had a good league. Sean O'Connor struggled to get into the game tonight.
Yeah.
A couple of mark attempts. One came off that went in on top of Connor, but it just wasn't in your night. I think that's ultimately where I'm going with this question.
Yeah. No, and I suppose people don't know, like. when the ball was thrown in there at the start of the game, there was 11 debutants after playing in the last two games. And I think we might have to take these experiences and use them then going forward. And don't, we're going to have off days, and don't, they're all young men that you're after mentioning. So I think, okay, it's hurting now here today, but maybe going forward it might benefit. And don't, we have to maybe go through this pain maybe tonight, but like ultimately we have to get on with it. We're going to be playing now in 2 weeks time, whoever we're going to be playing, and we just get back on the road again and keep working. And like overall I'm fairly pleased the way we've been going. We have a lot of new blood, we're really developing them, they're listening, they're working hard. And even tonight you can't say it went down to a lack of effort. They were really trying, but it just wasn't working for them tonight.
And just finally on the Taltian Cup, how will you approach that? What will you use that for? What's your objective with that competition?
The objective is we'll be back in training next Wednesday night and get on with it again, and there's going to be another championship match. That's the way we're going to approach it. And hopefully that we can get another win. I think that's what we have to, we'll say, take from it. Look, no one knows what way this Taltian Cup is going to go. But look, ultimately now, we're going to be back in now next Wednesday night. We're not going to feel sorry for ourselves, and just get back on the horse again.
Tip FM's Extra Time with Ronan Quirk.
Well, let's get some analysis on events in Semple Stadium on Saturday evening. Martin Quinlivan joins me on the line. Good evening to you, Martin.
Evening, Ronan.
I was fierce disappointed, not just with the defeat, but the manner of the defeat. Because if you were to benchmark it against, say, the game against Cavan in the final in Croke Park, games against Sligo, Carlow, like, it was chalk and cheese in terms of performance.
Yeah, very disappointing, Ronan. Maybe the first time this year we came up against a team that would probably be in the top half of counties in the country. And we came a long way short, let's be honest about it. Second time in, 3 years, 4 years that we've played Limerick in a much semi-final in Thurles, and, just not performed at all. And, it was real disappointing end to our Munster campaign now, to be honest.
And what do you put that performance down to? Because it wasn't, some players will reflect on their own performance and perhaps be disappointed, but it was a systems failure. From 1 to 15, there was nothing happening.
Yeah, I mean, the stats are stark. No forward scored from play. When was the last time Conor Sweeney was held scoreless completely? And it wasn't all down to Conor by any means. I think we, of the 10 points we scored, two of those were from inside the 50-yard line. The other eight were, four wonder scores from play and, four or five great frees from Jack Kennedy that were all from long range. That tells you, Ronan, we couldn't penetrate. We couldn't get anywhere near the score, what's known as the scoring zone in football, the D area or inside. And that was just a physicality issue. I mean, in fairness to Limerick, they've come a huge long way under Billy Lee in the last 4 or 5 years. And a lot of it, obviously, is down to the kind of conditioning work as a group that they have undertaken and that been obviously supported in doing. We see it every week nearly with their hurlers. But obviously, their footballers are availing of the same, support network. And it's starting to show. And if I was a Limerick man, I'd probably be a little bit disappointed that they took them so long to put Tipperary away, because they were so superior physically, and as you said, we just couldn't make any inroads against their defensive setup.
Can I ask you about, we've spoken about kickouts before on this show with Michael, and he's had a good league campaign, no doubt about it. But it just we just seem to be a little bit repetitive in what we're doing. When you have the likes of Jack Conlon, Mark Russell, Stephen O'Brien, all out around midfield, we didn't seem to sort of target them and aim for them much.
No, I mean, there's no doubt that the kickouts went awry, particularly in the second half. And, maybe word could have been got into them, listen, just go along. As you said, we had big players on in the second half when Stephen O'Brien had joined the fray. Mark Russell was still there, the two Kennedys. I think you'd like to think, you launch the ball out on top of one of them and get bodies around it and make it a scrap on the ground. And at the very least, you stop the breakaway from that. But we kept going for the kind of, we spoke about it before, and they're brilliant when they come off the kind of intermediate short kickout, which isn't quite to the nearest defender. It's a little longer. It kind of beats the first press. And, in fairness, I suppose in a lot of cases it might be a very good option. But the execution on the night just was poor. It just didn't happen. And it kind of put it under pressure at key stages of the second half. And the more Limerick saw that they could expose that or put pressure on it, that it kind of grew into attacking our kickouts. And, we got no platform as a result from our own restarts. And, it was a game, as you were supposed to, that can be analysed, I'm sure, Elaine Hart and her troops will be busy looking at that to fix it the next day. And, you know, to give that set of credit, I suppose, it was probably the first game in 2022 that, you know, there was a malfunction in that department. It had been quite good in other games. So, you know, we won't give up in a jet. But
no, not at all.
Certainly Saturday was poor in that regard.
Yeah, but again, I keep saying it's a systems failure across the board. If you look at our approach to their kickouts, I found it hard to understand what our approach was, because we sort of tried to press, but it wasn't a full court press. It was a bit of a half press, if that makes sense.
I see what you're coming at. I think if we had forced their goalkeeper to kick it into the middle of the field, then, you know, I'd like to think with us facing the oncoming ball, we should have been at least able to break it back in inside and look to pick up pieces, you know, to a Teddy Doyle or you know, Mikey O'Shea or somebody. But, you know, we seemed to be caught in two minds, whether we were pushing in or whether we did drop off, and ended up we didn't really do anything, and we kind of gave them a little bit. I don't know what the stats were, you know, but I'm sure, you know, our stats men and Tommy Toomey on the video analysis will have a lot to look at in that regard, because those are the basic bulwarks of modern football, you know, the restarts from the goalkeeper. You know, in any given game between the two goalkeepers, there's probably 40 restarts in the game. So, they, you know, getting it right in that department is a coaching issue, and that can be sorted, and you know, hopefully it will be sorted before the next round, the next round in 2 weeks' time against Carlow.
Yeah, and we'll talk about the Saltian Cup in a minute, but look, I mean, there was a Munster final on offer here. There was a Sam Maguire entry pass ticket for the Sam Maguire on offer here. There was plenty of motivation, and I'm just trying to get my head around, again, the manner of it, the fact that there was so... It was the poorest performance of the year on arguably the largest stage.
Yeah, well, it's certainly up there with, you know, the Leitrim one at home, and the league would probably be the only one that had come close in that regard. And as I said, Ronan, I just think we never got a foothold. I mean, obviously, you look Sean O'Connor, Mikey O'Shea, both withdrawn, who'd been two of our stars in the league. Just physically, you know, their first exposure at intercounty level to, you know, as I said, to play in a proper Division 1 or 2 standard conditioned team, which Limerick have undoubtedly become. And we just didn't get a foothold. You know, so yeah, you're right. I'm sure the management and players went out that and all of those motivating factors in their mind. And in fairness, we were level after 50 minutes, so it wasn't as if we never turned up. We did. Just the last 20 minutes, particularly from Limerick's second goal on, you know, I think
we kind of gifted those two goals, though, didn't we? I mean, Josh Ryan got through fierce easy for the first one, and Brian Donovan again in the second half.
Yeah, it was Brian Donovan at the shot that Mikey O'Reilly saved, and then Josh Ryan added the extras, as you. And in fairness, that's defendable, because we actually did a decent job in that we stopped their attack on the 45, kind of lined them up, and but one fist pass over our heads and nobody is covering the D area. Like, that's one of the basics, you know what I mean, is that you have your defensive line, but somebody, whether it's a wing forward or whether it's a wing back or, you know, even your centre back if they have time, they drop back into that D area. And that's, you know, if you look at it, the highlight, that was a fist pass over our press into that D area. Brian O'Donovan is running onto it, you know, and the rest is history. And the second one, I think, that it come from a kick out that Conal Kennedy tried to kind of almost double on, and he just flicked it down to a Limerick man, and we were exposed. And, you know, unfortunately, Brian O'Donovan got away from our half-back line and kind of ran straight through, and there was nobody came to meet him, which you'd like to think, you know, would have been the first port of call. Nobody came out to kind of meet the ball carrier. We seemed to be running, following our own men. And, you know, suddenly he's staring straight at Mikey O'Reilly from a couple of yards, and, you know, he's not going to miss from there. And you're right, the second goal in particular, Ronan, you know, it really set the remainder of the game, because we were never... You know, as I said, we couldn't even get possession in around the D to get a shot away. So we were hardly unlikely to score a goal. So, you know, the game was up at that stage. And, disappointing. But look, let's call a spade. We're in the Tarleton Cup. That's the standard we're at. You know, we probably, you know, somebody described it to me, and I think they're not wrong. You know, there's probably, realistically, not just two tiers in football, but three. You know, there's the top six or seven who have the footballers and have the conditioning and have the profile and so on. And then there's a cluster of maybe 16, 20 teams even who, you know, who are the next tier. And they're like Limerick, like Clare, you know, that they either, you know, they've either worked really, really hard as a group over 4 or 5 years to put themselves competitive at that level, or they're a natural football in county, which we call even Cork or somebody like that, who might be struggling for players, but they've come from a good reputation. And to be honest, Ronan, we've probably slipped back into the third tier. we haven't, you know, with the turnover of players, etc., you know, we don't have the conditioning. We obviously don't have the great players we probably have enjoyed for the last 10 years.
And
we are back where we probably belong. And, you know, I don't think you'd probably find anyone here and say that we would be one of the favourites to win the Tailteann Cup, unfortunately.
No, but I think as well what drove home to me last night is you take Bill and Robbie and Kevin Fahey out of that team, and you only have a half fit Stephen O'Brien, and Mark Russell missed the last day, and wasn't fully.
Lee McGrath's only coming back.
Well.
And in particular the first three. I mean, that's a half back line, Ronan, and you know, we're on record in this program as saying that there's probably five or six key players, and if all of them are on the field and fit at the same time as they were for the majority of the league, then we've got a chance. Then we look anyone in the eye and give them a battle. But like we're shorn of three of them who are, you know, our main ball carriers as through that defensive setup, Limerick setup, and we had nobody that could penetrate. You know, Jack Kennedy tried to pass a few balls right and left to get around them, but we'd nobody that could really. Shane O'Connell, in fairness to him, I thought had an outstanding game.
Yeah, he played very well.
Kicked a great score. And in fairness, Munch mentioned Sean O'Connell. You know, he's had a tough enough time since he joined the panel. You know, a lot of games where he started and might have been even taken off before half time. But he kicked two great scores. Matt Russell is nearly his customary wonder score. So there were a couple of bright spots, but we really didn't have anybody that could, you know, make that run off the shoulder and carry the ball through that first defence. And in fairness to Kevin, Bill and even Robbie, they're very good at doing that, or they're very good at committing the defender and getting the defender to foul, and suddenly now you have your three in and around the D area and the scoreboard keeps ticking and the game doesn't get away and it's easy. So they were a huge loss, and you know, I think the diagnosis on Bill isn't great, but hopefully Kevin and maybe Robbie could make it back and like that, two more weeks training in Lee McGrath. Stephen O'Brien must be getting near starting the game now. And as you said, it was good to see Mark Russell start, but obviously, you know, I think Mark wasn't as dynamic as he had been in the earlier league matches. But, you know, yeah, look, there's a lot to work on. I think, you know, the whole management and players need to keep their chin up and, you know, keep working on it as a work in progress. The draw isn't the worst draw we could have got in the Tailteann Cup, to be quite honest. We've beaten Carlow in the league. Obviously, we have to go up there. They'll be realising dick and their lips at tip coming up as well. Niall Carew is the manager there, you know, and he's been around the block a few times with Sligo and Kildare, etc. So, look, it'll be a game we'd be really disappointed if the year finished up on. But we're going to need a performance a lot better than last Saturday night to get out of there. And that then puts us in to a quarter-final. New York are one of the teams in our section in that quarter-final, so we could have an Alan Campbell derby. Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah, it would. I think they're guaranteed a home game as well, New York, aren't they? So
I'm not so sure. I think they may have to come to Ireland. I don't know. I'm not sure.
Well, no, I'm just putting it out there if Tip FM expense account want to.
You'll do the commentary on that.
I'm absolutely available.
Let's not look too far ahead. The group of 2 weeks are really hard work to process what happened on Saturday night and what didn't happen, and come back and, you know, at least promise themselves that whatever the result is against Carlow or whoever they may play, that the performance will be a lot better. And I think the supporters will be happy enough with that, because I think everybody left dejected on Saturday night with the kind of abject level of the way the game petered out on us.
As always, Martin, thanks for your time and efforts. We'll talk to you ahead of that Carlow game. Thank you.
Cheers, Ronan.
The Tip FM Sports Star of the Month with the Talbot Hotel Clonmel, formerly Clonmel Park Hotel. Multi-award winning wedding specialists with state-of-the-art leisure facilities and spa, with food served daily.
The Tip FM Sports Star of the Month.
Get your nominations in now.
Well, let's stay with the game in Thurles on Saturday night. Tom McGrath's on the line. Good evening to you, Tom.
Hello, Ronan.
Martin was saying there about processing what happened on Saturday night. How do you process what happened on Saturday night and your thoughts on it?
For me, it was extremely poor. Like, but I mean, like, who was the biggest sinner? I mean, Limerick set up defensively as well. Like, and it was a case of who was going to blink first and push up on the spare man. Like, if it meant, I think sooner or later, I thought we had a kind of a shot to nothing the other night, like, to have gone and put, if it meant playing seven forwards, play seven forwards to the divil, like, and we bet in an open game and maybe get a bit of, I know I'm struggling for words to describe it, but get a bit of energy into the thing, and apparent energy, and, you know, die with the boots on rather than just, you know, ride the thing out. Like, I thought it was pedestrian, but, like, that's the way football has gone Ronan. You know, like that sort of tis.
I take your point.
I hate using the words like.
I know, but you were in the stadium when we played Sligo. You were in, you know, I don't know, we were in Croke Park when we played Cavan in the league final. I thought, despite the fact we lost by a point against Cavan in the league final, we played good attacking football. Mark Russell getting on a lot of ball, kicking points. It was all positive, you know. There just was no positivity about Saturday, yeah, other than the fact we were level at half time. And I'm clutching at straws here.
Well, we were in a position because I think, you know, we had that conversation that, like, it was a position we definitely would have taken at the start of the match, like, because I didn't know what Limerick were going to bring, like. And then, I suppose, in the background, there's this spectre of Kerry looming large in the background as well, like, and that. But to the question of what way do you want to go, like, I mean, I figure at this stage now, the way the thing has panned out, that we're in the Tailteann Cup, and I think it's worth giving it a rattle.
I completely agree with you because yeah. it is our level, isn't it?
Yeah, like, and you know, go back to the second last question you asked me. Like, I mean, we're short players before we started this year, and then you had a few injuries, and you had the guys you were short the other night were the fellas that were going to bring that bit of energy and guile and a bit of hardness to our attacking setup.
Well,
to get through our transition from 45 to 45 is our problem, that we're short of pace there. Mark Russell has got 70 minutes into him now. That's a plus as
that's
well.
That's
like.
First this year,
yeah,
as well.
Yeah, like, and then, you know, that's a help, and probably could have got more out of him. I think the way the thing went the other night with our kick out strategy. I hate using that word, but like, I mean, we have Michael has a big boat in him. Kick it long and get your men behind it and force Limerick then to come at you if they have to do that. And you still run the chance because we have other fielders besides Mark. I mean, in Colin and Jack are well able to catch ball, and Teddy Dial isn't that shabby under a high ball either. Like, so
Stephen O'Brien was on the field as well.
Yeah, and he was on at that stage as well. Like, but on in a peculiar position, I thought. Like, that I thought, but you know, Stephen is more of a marauding attacker rather than a fully fledged attacker, if you know what I mean.
I know the point. He's a midfielder, he's as opposed to a half forward.
Yeah.
I mean, like,
yeah,
you look back at the Munster final against Cork in 2020, and you look at the contribution of Bill, Robbie, and Kevin in that half back line, and how they all marauded forward, to use your word. And I, you know, no disrespect to the half back line the other night, you know, Jack Cullum and Sean. I mean, they did try manfully to try and get into the game, but that's not their game. The transition from the 245s, as you put it.
Yeah, and then when you analyse the thing fully, let me score 210, and 3 points of that came more or less in stoppage time. So we conceded 2-7 with a kind of a backline short of some good defenders. We have, even with what we have there, like the other night, we have good defenders in that they're a good solid. They're a good solid block of six, and Mike Riley adds another dimension to it at the back. Like, so, I'd be setting the thing up a little bit differently. But look, I'm not seeing them 3 and 4 nights a week to be able to do those kind of things.
But
it's easy to see that it's easy to see the space evolving above in the stand. Like,
I'm not trying to be devil's advocate, but you know, I do accept your point. But those two goals we conceded were sucker punches, and they should have been defended better.
Agreed. But the second one came, like, we made a double substitution, and like, while the lads were, no, this not being disrespectful to the lads that came in, or not building up the lads that were substituted. But I mean, two substitutions together in the back line, Limerick exploited that, went at us quickly, and like, got the goal. And the second goal was the one. That's the one that done us, really, because we were always struggling to get scores. And when Limerick got that second score, that got them up to 12 points. And it was something that even, you know, looking at it early on, it said like something like 10 or 11 points was going to win this match. Like, and sure, very nearly did. Like,
yeah, that's true. So the Tailteann Cup, and going into that, we're going to have a situation where I never say the following sentence again. None of our forwards scored from play. I mean, that just can't recur.
Yeah, and even our shots, I mean, the statisticians come up with this, we had 3 wides and about 3 into the goalkeeper's hands, so we didn't get many shots away. We went long ball not often enough, I thought. We were only a fraction off a couple of excellent marks, And then Conor made one that was, I think the way you described it, was almost in row six of the Doon stand, but we didn't get the point off it because Tavlina terrific kick to have got it. Like, but there was a possibility of doing that, but doing that, you have to be pushing up men and have to know what's going to happen, and you have to get primary possession then, and primary possession for to set up a forward mark has to come in the middle of the field, because you'll find it very hard with a slow build up to generate a forward mark. So you have to go along with the kick out, get your possession, and then put the ball in quickly. That tis all about is pace, like, and pace of the ball, I suppose, as much pace with the ball as much as carrying the ball. Get the ball from one end to the other as quick as you can, like.
Yeah, absolutely. Are you looking, like, what's your view on, you know, motivating players for a Tailteann Cup? I don't know whether enough effort has gone in from Croke Park to try and build momentum, or will it build its own momentum as we get to the latter stages of it?
Well, I think you covered it with the first statement. The marketing of it was a little bit funny. Then the North-South divide was funnier still. Then the New York-London situation. New York get a bye and London don't. Now there's probably logistics for all of this type of stuff, but why not come out there with it? Like, I mean, the Christy Ring, Joe McDonagh, Laurie Mayer, that's embraced by the other hurling counties, and they see it as a way of improving themselves and measuring their improvement.
Yes,
and
but it's marketed terribly. There are some belters of games in the Joe McDonagh, and they don't even get the courtesy of 5 seconds on the Sunday game.
Well, it's true, all right. Yeah, that's. But they still embraced within the counties that are participating in it.
Correct.
They turn out in numbers for it. And I think possibly, now I've said this before, there's home venues and there's home venues, but I think there's a bit to be said for maybe neutral venues in this, because, like, you know, they're trying to cut down travelling and all that type of stuff, but get both crowds to come a bit, like, it's... And then, of course, the biggest bugbear I have after the whole thing is in the backdoor system, repeat pairings are avoided. And what did they do with this one? They allow pairings.
Yeah, I think the first one out of the hat was repeat pairing.
Wexford-Offaly, like. And now there's a corner there, like Wexford-Offaly, Wicklow-Waterford. There's only going to be one of them. They're going to play out to one again. Again, they come on our radar. And again, like, there's opportunities there, I think, and Longford and Fermanagh are playing each other. That's going to get rid of another heavy hitter, like, and Sligo and London is a 50-50 one, like, and kind of it's nicely, reasonably well for us. I think Carlow away is winnable.
But my question to you was, will there be a difficulty motivating players for it? You know, young fellas might look at it and say, God, you know, I could go to America right now, or I'll hang around for the Tailteann Cup. No disrespect, but it may not be the lure of the Tailteann Cup, might not be the sort of thing that keeps fellas in the country.
Yeah, well, the first round of the Tailteann Cup is on the same date as the Munster final was penciled in for. So if lads had ambitions to be in the Munster final,
fair answer. Yeah.
Next prize to have then is you're going to Carlow to play Tailteann Cup.
But
okay,
it has to be seen as championship. It has to have the same cachet as championship.
But I suppose it will, but you have to win two matches before you get to the big stage then to play, like. But I mean, you have to win a number of matches in any code at any level. You still have to win a number of matches to get to the big stage.
That's true.
We have to take out Carlow first and then see what the draw gives us after that. And I think it's worthwhile. I mean, like, interesting conversation. I'd say Declan Brown still thinks of 0-5 in Croke Park, like.
And going up and getting the Tommy Murphy Cup and lifting a cup in Croke Park as a Tipperary captain is still a big deal.
Lo and behold, Declan is there within the system, and I think he won't have any problem motivating them.
Okay, well, look, thank you indeed for your time, Tom. We'll see how that pans out. We'll discuss it in due course, and we'll talk again soon. Thanks, Tom.
Yeah, okay, Ronan.
That's Tom McGrath joining us there on the line in relation to that. Lots of texts coming in. One of them says, I brought three of the family to to the Tip Limerick football game on Saturday evening. I found it a terrible match, devoid of any excitement, almost dizzying at times with the back passes, across the field passes, little or no cut and thrust from either side. Basically a yawn fest, but an expensive one at that. Surely we can do better and stop trying to imitate top teams with their style of play. We are Tip. We're not Dublin. We're not Tyrone and we're not Kerry yet, says Jim. Thanks be to God we're not Tyrone. That's all I can say to that text. Starting Mark Russell was not the best call by manager. I thought Mark Russell always starts and he mightn't get 70 minutes out of him, we did on Saturday, but I always think you should start Mark because he certainly has contributed massively every time he contributes for Tip, and that point he scored over from the Ryan Stan side into the Cullinan end was a beautiful, beautiful point. If you haven't seen it, seek it out. Again, lots of questions in relation to game plans and lack thereof. Somebody else is pointing out the players we've lost since 2020 were Hurling County trying to be a football as well. The names that we've lost are awesome losses to Tipperary, says Ger. Anyway, loads of texts coming in. Somebody else saying, I hope we change the type of game we're playing now. Now kicking the ball back to the goalkeeper from 40 yards out the field. It was like a soccer game. Please go forward with the ball. None of this negative stuff, says a supporter in Care. 083-311-3311. Thursday night, excuse me, Thursday night's a big, big night for our minor footballers. And I'm delighted to be joined by their manager, John McNamara. How are you, John?
How's it going, Ronan?
Good. It's great talking to you, John, because you've won four matches, I think, so far. Firstly, it's great that our minors are getting four matches. I think our fifth match is this Thursday night. We bemoan the fact that some of our youngsters don't get enough games. It's great.
No, look, I Lima Hogan and Nina Guardian asked me the same question. It's the ideal question to ask. It is exactly what young kids at this age want. It's games. That's what they need. We've played before our four championship games, we've played about seven or eight challenge matches. So the amount of experience that they get from these games, like one of the key strategies for us was to try and build up the experience into these young lads. Obviously, to try and help that senior team that everybody's bemoaning at the moment, unfortunately. But that's the key thing for us. And look, when you build up a bit of momentum, we're going into the game on Thursday, you know, in Cork, but we have good momentum going with us, whereas Cork are coming off the back of a loss. So, look, I'm not a gambling man, but I suppose we're possibly going in that way.
No, it's just so good. And my question as well is, has winning become a habit for you? I mean, surely the confidence in the dressing room now compared to your first night out is a completely different animal.
I remember our very first game against Offaly. Actually, we're a very good football team, and they taught us a bit of a lesson there about 10 weeks ago in terms of intensity and work rate and the pace the game has to be played at. And that's what we're just doing. We're keeping the messages simple. It's not necessarily that winning is a habit, but performing well and playing well as a unit. And I don't just mean the 15 lads, I mean the entire panel. And like one of the things we've had so many lads come into the panel on each of the game. And like everybody plays a part. And like it's the performance really that we want to see.
Yeah, and like you're scoring. I mean, I'm looking back to, I think, the Waterford game. You scored 320 in that game.
That's correct.
Like,
yeah,
when do you score 320 in a football match?
Well, no more so than the actual scoreline. The one thing I was very proud with was the first Limerick game, the Waterford game, even the cut in Clare game. Both our midfielders and all our starting forwards scored. And like, if you're getting scores from around the pitch, you're going to cause difficulty for any team that you play. Like, the thing about it is, we know the kind of stubborn star forwards that we have in Fionn Fitzgerald and Colin Grogan and Dolly Hogan, especially from Clonine. Like, but we have lads like Ben Carey and Tommy O'Connor is pitching in. Tommy O'Connor does a huge amount of work, but then he can pitch in a score or two, and it just keeps the scoreboard ticking over. And that's the key thing for us, is just the effort to allow everybody the opportunity and give them the confidence to do it.
Yeah, I mean, a good spread of clubs as well. I always like to see that. You know, you've Fun for Sir, Killinall, Ballyluby, Castle Grace.
Correct.
All the way to, you know, Ballina, your captain, indeed.
Yeah, from Ballyporeen up to Charlie King, from Charlie English and Ballyporeen up to Charlie King and Ballina. Look, this is to be fair to the lads, and look, Charlie King especially, is a terrific talent. You're when you fall involved with players like this, as I have been with the academy with George Hannigan and Mike Donlan, like, yeah, it's just a pleasure to be able to deal with. Like one thing I was talking to Tommy Toomey, and he's actually, we're in Dr. Morris Park at the moment, going through the video analysis with Tommy.
No
better man, exactly, a pure Tip football man. But the key thing for me was that these young men, they take on every single bit of information you tell them. and they use it for their own benefit. And it's a real sign of a great team.
Yeah, it's wonderful. I mean, Cork, as you said, have come off the back of that defeat to Kerry. It's an unusual structure, and the Daryl Darcy Cup and a bit of silverware that down in Mallow last week. I thought, you know, even for those young lads to say that they won a cup for Tipperary playing football, that's a mighty thing.
Yeah, look, at the time, we didn't want to stress it, but I felt it was very important. We got the opportunity to listen to Daryl Darcy Cup. It was vital that we did. Like, Daryl, we all remember him being great footballer when he was a young man before he tragically died. Like, so I think it's especially for someone like Charlie King, a North Tip man, bringing the cup back to North Tip.
Yeah.
Daryl, of course, was Shannon Rovers. So, look, there was something in it for us. We didn't let it play into our heads to make it very important in our game, but it was something that it's lovely. You can see the celebrations of the lads. Like, they're having their fun. You know what I mean? So, but like, it is nice, as you said, to get the lovely photograph of a bit of silverware. It's a nice way to have a season.
Video analysis on Cork, I'm sure you're doing that as well at the moment.
Yeah. In no way will I come on the radio and talk Cork down there. Cork football is outstanding. To be honest with you, going down to Kerry, down to Tralee, is never an appetising game for anybody. And look, it was their first game out. They probably played with a lot of nerves. They weren't cohesive. That's the one thing I think that probably, as you pointed out, we won four on the bounce. There's cohesion in our play that Cork probably haven't got yet, but we have to be very wary. You know what I mean? We're looking at what they do. Some of their players, they have a 13 that's fabulous footballer comes out the field. But look, all we can do is focus on what we can do the best and try and win the game on the back of that.
John, I wish you and your panel the very, very best luck on Thursday night against Cork. It's in the stadium, I think, isn't it?
It's in Semple Stadium.
Yeah. So I would appeal to people, absolutely appeal to people, to make their way up to Thurles to see this game, because these young fellas are just playing superstar.
I think I can quote Anthony Shelley, who has stated every week that if anybody wants to see good football, go and watch us play. And I think that's one of the pleasurable things about what we're doing, is that we're trying to get them to play football, be confident in their game, and just enjoy the game. You know what I mean? Make it an enjoyable process. So I'd encourage everybody to come and support us, and hopefully we can achieve another win.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, after the events of the minor hurlers on Wednesday night, minor Munster final.
I hope we don't have to put ourselves through the mill like the minor hurlers. That was an incredible performance by them. To come to be down in the game, to come back and then to come back again, and then to young Horgan in the goal with the fantastic save. What's wonderful is, like, all the lads we have in the dressing room here know all those lads.
Yeah.
But there's a little bit of incentive to try and, like, seeing that they're being successful. Can we try and be successful along with them?
Correct.
And like James will look at them, fantastic job with them, and I'm just delighted that Peter didn't look at them.
Listen, John, the very best of luck on Thursday night. We'll talk to you then.
Thanks Ron.
Take care. That's John McNamara, who's the manager of our minor footballers. What a season they're having. It's a great, great news story. Some news that's breaking, actually, that I notice on the wires is that there's a joint statement being issued this evening by the GAA and the GPA, and it says that subject to approval by the GAA's Ard Corla and the GPA's National Executive Committee, who met separately this week, the GAA and the players' representative body can confirm that agreement has been reached on a players' charter which will cover the 2022 season. It has also been agreed after recent discussions that a new charter will be negotiated for 2023. All previously outstanding issues relating to travel expenses have been resolved. The GAA and the GPA are committed to working together in a positive way in an effort to avoid similar issues rising in the future. So that little standoff has been resolved, and hopefully some expenses will start to flow into young fellas' accounts, because as I've said myself on this show, diesel is not getting any cheaper anytime soon. Our text number is 083 311 3311. Lots of people ask me about permutations and combinations in relation to what might or might not happen next Sunday in relation to hurling. JJ Kendi's on the line. JJ, how are you?
Hi Ronan.
I'll come to next Sunday in a minute, but I just want to get your reflections on the weekend that we had. Let's start with a headline for you. Bad weekend for Tipperary managers. I'm thinking of Darry Egan. I'm thinking of Liam Cahill.
Sorry, Liam Cahill. Yeah, sorry.
I stumped you there, yes.
Yeah, it was. I mean, that Wexford draw to Westmead was a terrible result, really. You know, in fairness, Westmead are competitive, I suppose. I think they're more competitive than Laois, actually. But there is still no way that a team like Wexford should be struggling against them. That was just a terrible result, and you could see it in Darry Egan's face last night that this was just a horror show as far as he was concerned. 21 wides, his team just not up to the pace of it, and I'm sure he's scratching his head, just like Liam Cahill. I think Liam Cahill had an interesting heading that he said that Waterford played like a car running
on bad petrol. Yeah, and I can see how he would say that. But what I suppose where I'm coming to this is, if ever we needed evidence that the league doesn't really provide an indicator of what's going to happen in the summer championship, then the performances of Wexford and Waterford this year. Mm. Waterford with two losses from three games, Wexford I think have two draws. I mean,
I mean, I suppose we've known this for a long time, and if you look back over the league winners very often don't do well in the championship. It's an entirely different animal, the championship, compared to the league, and so there's nothing new in that. Still, having said that and accepting that dichotomy between the two competitions, it's still very disappointing from Waterford's perspective that they were so flat. I think actually they've been struggling in all three games so far. I think they struggled against us in the first round. We had an ideal opportunity to pull off a big one there, which we didn't take. And you know, they struggled against Limerick. I think they were flattered by the end score, got a few goals, made it look respectable. But really,
a Limerick team without Kyle Hayes and Keane Lynch, who went off.
And Keane Lynch, early. Absolutely. Absolutely, and again yesterday, you know, they against Cork, just not at the level, very flat. You know, when you think of Waterford at their best, you think of a team that's full of energy and full of running. You know, somebody's coming out of the ball and he has three or four options, the fellas running off the shoulder, and they're coming at you in waves, and they've got the pace and all of that stuff. And you look at them yesterday, none of that was happening. They were just flat. You know, you see Tadhg De Bourcaigh at times coming out and looking for somebody to lay off the ball to, and there's nobody available. That's not the way Waterford play when they're at their best. And I'm sure Liam Cahill is absolutely puzzled as to why they're so flat. They're big names again, not showing up. You know, you think of the fellas that were starring during the league, like Stephen Bennett and so on. And
yeah, Dizzy Hutchison, I thought, would be having a better.
Dizzy Hutchison, yeah.
You know,
yeah,
a better, you know, you, championship.
You'd be kind of looking for them yesterday. Yeah. They just weren't doing it. So it's hugely disappointing, and they've a really tough one ahead of them now going up to Ennis.
Yeah, so Ennis, as we both know from painful experience over the years, a really tough place to go and win, and Limerick couldn't go there and win yesterday. They got a draw despite being down to 14 players. Can I ask you about that now next Sunday? Because Tip entertained Cork, and I was fearful that this, you know, one of the great standout marquee events of an Irish summer, Tip playing Cork and Thurles in a hurling match, might be reduced to some sort of a wooden spoon type event. Thankfully now there's a lot riding on this match for both sides coming into it. So like, from Tip's point of view, because it's still live, because of the vagaries of the championship, we could still qualify.
Yeah. It's again, similar to yourself, I think it's one of the silver linings from the weekend results, I think, that this isn't a dead rubber as we feared it might be. It's still alive for both teams. Cork, in fairness, are in the driving seat. If they win, that's it, irrespective of what happens between Clare and Waterford. They go through on the head-to-head, even if Waterford win. So their position is very, very clear. Ours is a little bit more dependent on other events. We obviously need to beat Cork and beat them by, I think, 7 points.
Yeah.
And then hope that Clare beat
Waterford. Does the margin of victory in Ennis matter? Like, if we do our part of the bargain and win by 7 points and Clare win by a single point, I think we'll all be getting our calculators at that point, is it?
Yeah, no, I think we're okay if we win by 7.
Okay.
Because Waterford score difference is, I don't have them up in front of me now, but it's in the minus range again. So obviously if Clare win, that's going to shove them further down into the minus range, and I think we're okay if we win by 7. So it's no, I think the variable one here, the one that in some ways is very difficult to work on is the Ennis one, actually, because you know, what attitude are Clare going to have to that game? Will they, you know, will they rest some of their main players? I mean, I'm looking at the betting odds, for example, at the moment, and Waterford are red hot favourites according to the betting.
And is there an assumption that Clare have one eye in a Munster final? But like, that's a dangerous animal, because if you dial it down, you know, it's very hard to dial it back up again.
It is, yeah, and I'm sure Brian Lohan is well aware of that. He's not going to go out and put out a B team in this competition. I suspect he might maybe rest one or two or whatever, but he'll still put out a strong team and he'll still want to win. I mean, they pride themselves on Cusick Park being a sort of fortress, and the record shows that it is. It's a very tough place to go and get a result out of. So I was surprised by those betting odds. Because I would have thought that you'd still, given the form shown by teams in the league so far, that you'd fancy Clare to win that particular game. But again, these things are variable. We fancied other teams and they haven't come through, so we'll just have to wait and see.
Is the Leinster Championship, in your view, a little bit more skewed towards the top counties relative to, the Munster Championship? But the reason I ask you that is because Wexford can go and beat Kilkenny and still qualify, having been rather mediocre so far. It doesn't seem to be the bear pit that Munster has become. And I'm just wondering whether there's an argument, and I don't think we'll have time to fully trash this out, to do away with provincial championships and have two groups more evenly drawn.
Yeah, I think there is an argument. In answer to your question, I agree. I think there is an argument for that. There's no doubt that, you know, in Munster, you know, the five teams you have, they on any given day, any one of them will beat the other. They're evenly matched. It is a real bear pit, as you say. Leinster, you know, with Westmeath and Laois there, it's not as competitive. So you know, you're really talking about the others, you know, Galway, Kilkenny, Dublin and Wexford, and you're talking about three out of four getting through, which it really means that you're probably down, if you're a Dublin or a Wexford, you're down to winning one or two key games, and that's it, you're through. So it is different. And look, I mean, the provincial councils have tradition behind them, and there's a huge lobby there, and you're not going to change that structure too easily. But I think someplace in the future, I think that's where you're headed. But
it just seems unfair really on the Munster point of view. There's no free shot in Munster, and here we are going into the final round of games, and, you know, the top two places have been decided, but the three remaining teams are battled out for that last place. The GAA are delighted that that's happening because it keeps everything alive, but it does show the difference between the two provinces in very stark terms.
It does. There's no doubt about that. That's a given, I think. But changing it is the problem.
Turkeys and Christmas rings to mind, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's not going to happen anytime soon, I think.
Just finally, somebody wants me to ask you about Garrod Hegarty's red card. I don't know why they want me to specifically ask you about that. But the one thing, irrespective of sort of pundits pointing out Garrod Hegarty's transgressions in other matches that perhaps went unpunished, the thing that struck me about that incident was the play acting or the I don't know if you want to call it. It disappoints me that, you know, that's creeping in.
I suppose I'd say a couple of things. I'd say I think the first yellow card that Hegarty got was ridiculous. I didn't think there was anything there that merited a yellow card whatsoever. I'd have slightly less sympathy for him on the second one, in the sense that, you know, he has developed this reputation of you know, a guy who does that sort of swing back with the hurley and has done it in the past and got away with it. So from that point of view, I'm a little bit out of sympathy with him there, even though when you see the playback of it, there was very little in it, very little contact. And of course, the Clare player, the theatrics were just ridiculous of that. But again, referees and umpires and linesmen and so on should be above that. They should be able to sort of judge the thing on its merit. But what I'm saying basically is I don't think he should have been red carded yesterday.
Yeah.
But he is playing on the edge. I mean, I think the Limerick team in general, I mean, most of them are exemplary in their behaviour. There's never anything wrong with them. But I think they have two, maybe three players who play a bit on the edge, have got away with...
Haven't all great teams?
Well, that's debatable. I mean, we had a great team in the... You know, the last 13, whatever years, I don't know that we have anybody playing on the edge. The odd incident now and again, but not consistently. Limerick just have these few players that are doing this. They've got away in the past. They're drawing attention to themselves. And, you know, I just think that Kiely needs to get on top of that and get these guys to cop on. But it's the same. I mean, Waterford had the same problem, obviously. Clontarf has the same problem with
Austin Leeson. Two reds in four games,
Yeah, I mean, it's just, it must be totally frustrating. Yeah. Because actually, he was the best Waterford player yesterday.
Yeah, he's...
And then he goes and puts himself in that position with that. The key one there was the first yellow card. I mean, it was absolutely deserved. And it was a ridiculous thing to do. And then he's set up then because other guys, you know, knowing his temperament, will have a go at him. And it's easy enough for... you know, to draw a guy into a second yellow. So it's really frustrating from Ian Cahill's point of view, I think.
As always, JJ, there's an awful lot we can dissect there, and maybe if the summer is shorter than we hope it, than we fear it might be, we might get time to explore some of those themes in the later parts of this year. Thanks for joining us, and we'll talk soon.
Thanks, Ronan.
That's JJ Kennedy joining us there. Those of you who are interested in the Leinster Minor Hurling Championship, we're being to know that Offaly are leading 6-3 against Laois, tip into an All-Ireland semi-final. And the losers from Munster, Clare, the losers of tonight in Leinster, join Galway in a round robin, and two will come out and join the provincial winners. I hope you follow all that. 083-311-3311. Barry Ryan, the manager of Clonmeltown Football Club's on the line. Barry, how are you?
Ronan, how are things?
A bit of a frog in my throat, but other than that, I'm hunky-dory. Listen, season is almost at an end, but not quite. There's a Munster Junior Cup final to be played yet. Lots of football and things resolved. From a Clonmeltown point of view, how do you take stock of the last 8 or 9 months?
Look, I suppose we've closed the gap massively on St Michael's, which was absolutely what we planned to do. We played them 3 times, drew with them twice, conceded 2 goals in the 3 games. So a massive step forward, but work to do. When you say close the gap, still haven't beaten them. They'll still go away with the silverware again this season. And, you know, in terms of that, you talk about a Munster Junior Cup final to prepare, you know, that's coming down the line. That's St Michael's as well. And a few people have kind of said to me in the last 48 hours since, you know, the Cup quarter final going to penalties and so on, and how well Clonmeltown played. And I think even most people from St Michael's will probably acknowledge in that particular night it's a game we should have won. And, you know, there's kind of a couple of people have said to me, you know, maybe the St Michael's cycle is coming to an end. But I couldn't disagree more. As much as we've absolutely come up a long way, I don't see St Michael's going away in any shape or form. They've introduced young players like Ed Dwyer and a few more, you know, DJ Cremins. They're absolutely going nowhere, you know, unfortunately, from a Clonmeltown point of view. But in terms of the 8 or 9 months, we've certainly closed the gap.
It's an interesting table because you possibly have a winner takes all, one game left to play between St Michael's and Peak Villa, and Peak Villa have pushed them all the way. They've only lost once this season.
Yeah,
albeit that was the St Michael's.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. And now, look, I don't know what... I know there's an appeal in Cork tomorrow night in terms of the 3 points. Peak Villa fielded an ineligible player against Clonmeltown in the league match. So I'm not sure there's going to be that St Michael's Peak Villa game. I'm not sure what way that's going to play out yet.
Okay, fair enough. Thanks for bringing me up to speed on that. I wasn't aware. But it does show, though, in fairness to Villa, just how they've narrowed the gap as well. So.
Absolutely. Like, and look, they've been on the shoulder for a few years now, but I suppose that's probably the interesting thing in terms of, we look at it like in terms of ourselves trying to close the gap into games and head-to-head against St Michael's. And like I said, played them 3 times, drew twice. Peak Villa played them 3 times in Turles and lost all 3 to an aggregate of 8-0. But Peak Villa have been better than us at going elsewhere and doing their business every single week. So I suppose it's funny, we've been better against St Michael's in the head-to-head and they've been better at us. So I suppose a mix of Peak Villa and Clonmeltown, do you know, would probably be a hybrid version of the two could challenge St Michael's.
Yeah, that's an interesting fantasy football scenario that you have there. Ker Park and Glen Gool will be relegated.
Yeah, it seems to be the case. 2 up, 2 down. Yeah, credit to V Rovers, got the job done at the end of the season. And look, hugely disappointing for Ker Park and hugely disappointing to exit the Tip Cup to Peakfillies B team yesterday as well. Albeit huge credit to Peakfillies B team and in particular Aaron Graham, Danny Graham's son, who was a great goal scorer, bagging two goals, only 18, so very impressive for them, but very disappointing for Ker Park.
Yeah, no doubt about it. There was a playoff, was there, in between Celtic and Wilderness Rovers that ended in a 2-0 win for Wilderness Rovers. Was that just to see who were going to be crowned champions?
Yes, who was going to be crowned champions. And to be honest, I think that even, you know, I know Thomas Town and Mike has grabbed a lot of the headlines, but for me, that was the game of the weekend in terms of the way Wilderness had it in their own hands going into the last game of the season. All they had to do was beat Oldbridge and they'd be champions. And it finished 0-0 and it was a real... Because a lot of talk going around, they'd blown it and they'd party planned for afterwards and all this type of stuff and they blew up and... for them to go over to the bypass and beat Celtic in a playoff, I think it speaks volumes of the guys involved in that Wilderness dressing room. Your Graham and Niall Kelly's, your Ashley Keane's, your Jason Barron's, proper men that have been around junior football a long time, and I thought that was a huge win to go over to Clonmel Celtic and win like that, on the back of people kind of maybe saying they threw it away and stuff like that. So super achievement.
Yeah, no, congratulations to them. And that's two more Clonmel Town teams up into the Premier League next year. It makes for local derbies, it makes for interest.
Yeah, and look, that's not good news for Clonmel Town because they're difficult games. You know, Derby takes on a life of its own, as we've seen down through the years with St. Michael's and Banshee. Banshee are often the team that get them the most to do in a season. So yeah, that's local. It'll be great for local people around and Clonmel going to games. It'll be Derbies every second week. But in terms of, you know, for mounting a title challenge, that will probably, you know, won't help Clonmel Town's cause.
Barry, always good talking to you. Congratulations on a successful season. Lot more football to come, though, in Munster Junior Cup finals, etc. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, Ronan.
Take care. Barry Ryan, the Clonmel Town manager, joining us there. Just to give you a quick score update from the Leinster Minor Hurling Final, it is 6 points to 5, Offaly leading Laois at the moment. That is all we have time for. Ian O'Connor produced. We'll be back to you next Monday night. Till then, good night and good luck.
Tip FM's Extra Time with Ronan Quirk.